Nice of everybody to stick around. Appreciate you guys. I'm sure you guys will be up late. It was a busy day for us. Pretty exciting. Added four players to the team that we feel will come in and hopefully be able to fill some roles regardless of, you know, what they're asked to do. So, we kicked the night off there with Cyrus, the first pick there at 60, kind of had both of those picks actually back-to-back. So we were actually in the process. We prepared to pick two players at that time. As we were making the Cyrus pick, we're actually on the phone and we consummated the trade with New Orleans. We're able to move back there, gain a fourth round, which gives us an extra pick. Now we have eight picks tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. Cyrus, versatile player, played in the perimeter mostly at Alabama. Is a very effective punt returner. I think he had four punt returns for touchdowns this season. So, real good ball skills, good with the ball in his hands as a returner, kind of has some position versatility and then has additional value on fourth down. We moved back there into the third, and then we picked Tooney from North Carolina State. I think the thing about Tooney is just, say, his overall versatility. I mean, he started at guard. He started at left tackle this past season. When Dante went down there to work him out, we actually snapped him and worked him at center. Like, whether or not he can play center, yet to be seen, but the overall value he brings in terms of his overall versatility, it's something that it's hard to find. Typically, you have guys, maybe they play one position. They're just a tackler, just a guard, just a center. But here's a player who actually played two different positions. I mean, actually three if you want to include right guard, left. But I'm saying played guard and tackle. And very productive, very durable, very bright. Like, it's probably as intelligent as anybody, at that position. So that was the pick there. We get the pick there. We were at 91, which was our pick there. We pick Frizette. The whole quarterback position, I mean, we only had two on a team. So we were definitely going to add a third quarterback, no question about it, at some point, whether it was in the draft or however we did it. Jacoby was a guy that we spent a lot of time with, brought him in, kind of went through a whole exercise with him, started his career at Florida, then he transferred to North Carolina State. Two-year starter, the ACC, big guy, good size, athletic, strong, did a better job of taking care of the football this year, decent touchdown interception ratio, so he's played in a couple quality programs. And then the pick there with Valentine, this guy's a big guy. I mean, he's long. I mean, he's 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", 315, 320 pounds. And the thing about him, like when you watch Nebraska, I mean, you're actually watching he and Malik Collins, who the Cowboys took there at the top of the third round. So you're talking about, I mean, two NFL defensive tackles. They're a little bit different. Collins is a little bit more undersized, a little bit more of a true three technique. Valentine actually played anywhere from 0-5, all the way out to 5 technique. You know, he's primarily an inside interior defensive tackle, but very strong, very physical, good run player, well-coached, playing for Coach Pelini. That program, we have a lot of respect for Coach Pelini and his program and what he did there. So, those are the guys that we added to the team here this evening. And we'll be back at it tomorrow morning. And then we'll kind of chip away here. We have the pick right now in the fourth round. Can't remember exactly the number, but we're scheduled to pick in the fourth round right now. And then we have the end of the draft covered there with the 5-6 round picks, three of which we have to pick. So we couldn't trade those even if we wanted to. And then 2 7th round picks. So, we'll see how it goes. I think that puts us right now, we're actually at 80 players on the roster. It's just if you include the players that we drafted. So, somewhere along the line, something's going to have to give. We're going to have to give some picks up or, we just can't keep that. I mean, you got 90 players you can actually have on your roster at one time. So we'll have to see how it all fits together. So that's kind of where we are, for the time being. So we'll take some questions.
Were there any calls or anything close to materializing in terms of trading up at any point in the night from 60 and 61?
It's something that we explored, and it just, I would say, never came to fruition. So a lot of that is just, the willingness on both teams. So, I mean, we look at everything, going up, going down. So we ended up picking, like I said, right there at 60, and then we ended up moving back. So, I mean, we were actually in the process of picking – with the 61st pick, and then we got the call from New Orleans kind of as we were on the phone, and we thought it made sense to move back and to get a fourth. So that's why we ended up doing what we did.
Actually, I should have asked about last night too. Did you guys ever consider trying to get into the first round last night?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that was, you know, probably a long way to go in order to do that. I mean, you'd have to give up quite a fair amount. So, you know, I think we kind of went through the process like we normally would. You know, just it was good for our whole staff just to kind of go through the process and, you know, stay up on the trades and what was happening with the draft. So, you know, in the end, we just didn't really feel it made a whole lot of sense. And just there's a lot of capital that would have to been involved. So we thought the best thing to do was just kind of sit it out and wait until, you know, until this evening and then go to work and do what we needed to do.
I wanted to ask about tuning in. You guys oftentimes will have guys who have great versatility. You also have guys who do one thing. Do you ever say to yourself, man, we just need a guy who can play tackle really well, as opposed to having somebody who could go up and down? I guess I'm looking at it. You guys seem as if you might need some tackle depth. The guys, Sebastian's getting older. Tooney doesn't really look as, okay, he can be a right tackle because his projection is longer. I guess, it's, how do you weigh that?
Sure. I think you have to look at the player and what he actually does well. I mean, the guy played left tackle, you know, at this year, North Carolina State had black guys like Lawson. I mean, he had to see him block some decent players. So I think it's a matter of how good they are at the one particular thing. I mean, it's like, you know, Nate Solder. Okay, you're drafting him as a left tackle. Whether or not could he play another position? Well, he did his first year. We played him right tackle because we had light, you know, because he actually ended up playing, you know, because of. But, you know, then we played him at some jumbo tight end, actually. So I think you have to look at the player, actually, his skill set, and then within the context of the rest of your group and how that fits. So some guys are better doing multiple things. Some guys are better playing one spot, which even going Matt White, you know, we tried him at – I wasn't here, but we tried him at right tackle originally and found out, like, well, he really can't play right tackle, and his best position was left tackle. So – I think you try to figure out, look at the context of your entire line. Okay, what do you have? And we work guys in multiple spots and just try to figure out, okay, what's their best position in the end? I mean, we tried a little bit of that with Marcus, you know, Cannon. You know, right tackle, left tackle, tried him at guard. Really his best position was right tackle or wherever you want to play him. At tackle, he's more of a tackle. So I think it depends on the player and the makeup of the rest of your group.
A clear way for me to ask it is, sometimes is it better to get somebody who's not a jack-of-all-trades but is a master of one? Because it seems as if you do have Cameron Fleming can play a bunch of places, Cannon can play a bunch of places. All these guys, you can just get a tackle to be a tackle.
Right. Well, I think it's relative to those other players, I mean, that we're talking about.
Okay.
So that makes sense.
Nick, was the philosophy on taking Cyrus, best player available at that point on the board, and the follow-up to that is – the temptation by you guys to consider a running back at that position, 60 or 61?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios that we talked through. At the time, you know, as we were working across, I mean, there was some different players that, you know, where I'd say were graded equally. I think the thing that tipped the scales in Cyrus' favor a little bit was just his overall versatility, punt return, I mean, because that's a huge component of what we do, and we thought that he had the ability. So, ability to be a punt returner and to play, we'll see where he can actually play, you know, in terms of corner. I mean, he played, like I said, primarily on the perimeter at Alabama. You know, so I think we look at everything and then we ultimately decide, okay, this is what we feel makes the most sense for us at this time. So that's why we did what we did.
And Nick, with Jacoby Brissett, how much did Tom potentially facing a 4-game suspension factor into that?
Yeah, like I said, when we have two quarterbacks on a roster, so we know we were going to add a third quarterback, regardless of whatever the situation was. So, I mean, very rarely have we gone through a spring or with two quarterbacks. Sometimes we've had three, sometimes we've actually had four. So we knew we were going to have a third quarterback on the team regardless. I mean, that's always an important position, you know, on your team. And, you know, we felt that, you know, it was important for us to have a player that we felt comfortable with, and so that's why we picked Brissett.
Do you feel set there at the position? Would you feel comfortable if your depth chart for the first four games was Jimmy and Jacoby Brissett?
Well, we'll go through the spring. You know, we'll kind of go through the process and, like, we'll see what happens. The only thing we control really is tomorrow and the draft, and then we'll go through the OTAs. I mean, the rest of it is really out of our hands. So we'll control the things that we can control and go through and try to prepare, you know, our team the best we can.
Nick, Nick, with regards to Brissett again, as important as his play at NC State was there extra insight into the fact that you played with Charlie at Florida and his work with Bill Parcells? Were you guys able to glean anything from his experience with those two coaches?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since he played for Charlie. Charlie, I think he was involved in the recruiting process with him, you know, that there at Florida. And there was a lot of moving parts, you know, at the time. So, and then, you know, when they made the coaching change and then just made, you know, the situation made the most sense for him to leave. So, you know, I think having experience with Charlie, you know, we all know how good of a coach Charlie is, you know, how demanding he is and some of those types of things. So whether or not the system was the same, I mean, I think it is, but it isn't. You know, there's an evolution from on both sides of it. So, but having experience, you know, with Charlie, you could certainly probably take hard coaching, so that won't be an issue. So,
what did you think of Kevin Falk's appearance and delivery in the tuning pick?
That's why Kevin Falk is a potential member of the Patriots Hall of Fame. So, we all love Kevin Falk. Nobody more than Mr. Kraft, Coach Belichick. I was actually able to develop a real good relationship with Kevin Falk. So, Kevin Falk's one of the best Patriots on a multitude of levels, and I think he certainly showed that tonight.
Is there a practical question in terms of, you mentioned you guys can only carry 90 guys. I know you guys always go hard after a lot of undrafted free agents. When you're talking about dealing picks, acquiring picks, and looking at how many guys you have on the roster, is there ever a sense of, okay, look, we need to move ourselves a little bit here? Is that ever a thought?
Yeah, I mean, you try to do the best you can and just managing the numbers. I mean, look, if somebody doesn't want, let's say you have extra picks, and even if you're trying to get rid of them, somebody doesn't want them, then there's nothing really you can do about it. So if you pick the player, then there's just going to have to be an offset somewhere. So if we end up picking, let's just say right now we're at 80 and we pick 8, so we're at 88. So it leaves us a certain degree of wiggle room. We could still sign some players after the draft potentially, assuming we keep all of these picks. So there might be a trickle-down effect along the way where, okay, we've added X amount of players, and maybe we look at the current roster as it's constructed, and maybe we decide, okay, we're going to make a one-for-one swap here. So I think once we get through tomorrow, we'll kind of have a better sense of where we are numbers-wise, because technically you can have some extra players until the drafted rookies are technically under contract. So you can maneuver some things around, but, I mean, we'll certainly make sure we're in compliance with everything. But, you know, we'll do the best we can and just try to manage the numbers the best we can.
Do you see Tootie as a tackle prospect, or do you expect him to come in here and try it all?
Well, we'll see. You know, we'll see. We'll put him out there. Probably put him inside, put him outside. I mean, it might depend on who he's working with, try him with different groups. Maybe you try him at tackle with this group. Maybe he works inside with this group. So I think, you know, Dante does a great job of sort of moving those guys around. Ultimately, we try to find, like, what their best position is. I mean, like, you know, as an example, a guy like Josh Klein. Josh only played guard at Kent State. So we brought him here primarily as a guard only, but he's been able to kind of develop the center skill set a little bit, and you really don't know how that's going to go until you actually have the player here. So is he a one-position player only? Well, we don't really know until you actually put him in that position. Like, Copen was a center only, a really good one, and, you know, could he play guard? Well, we may have had better guards. So you look at that player, okay, what is he? Is he a one-position player only? Okay, then you look at relative to the other players at that position. Okay, well, does this guy maybe have three-position value? So maybe he has a little bit more value than a guy who's a one-position player only. So I think we'll put them all out there. Like I said, we've played a lot of guys at different spots through the years. So once he gets here, we'll kind of figure out what he can do. Like I said, the whole center exercise, I mean, that's just more of a guy, like if he can enhance his overall versatility, like that was something in the workout, you know, to see if a guy can handle the ball, snap the ball. I mean, there's some dynamics involved. The guy's never snapped, but like maybe he can snap, he can handle the ball, he can get the ball up there with pace, you know, and he can handle the mental component. So, I mean, look, it's very rare that a guy literally can play all five positions, maybe at a high level, but if he plays him at a good level, maybe that's good enough relative to the construct of the rest of your team and offensive line.
You may know to Lawson or the guys he's gone against in the ACC. How important is that when you guys evaluate these players, who they're playing against on film?
It's a great question, Bob. It's really an important part of the evaluation when you look at, forget about North Carolina State or Tooney in particular, but when you're looking at some of the better players, really, you want to see them play against the best competition that they can play, because inevitably, that's what they're going to see on a weekly basis. They're going to have to block Jerry Hughes 1 week, then they're going to have to block Olivier Vernon and Wake another week, then they're going to have to block, you know, Wilkerson, Big M. You know, I mean, they're going to have to block guys like that on a consistent basis. So you start really with the best players, the best competition they played against, and see how they fare. That's why the Senior Bowl sometimes is a good indicator, because that's for, under the other classmen, which we are a big part of it. You're kind of seeing the best players, the best senior players throughout the country. So it's a huge part of the overall evaluation, and because that's who they're going to be playing against. It's one thing if they do it against a team, you know, a lower level team, or maybe, I mean, look, not all teams are created equal. Not all conferences are created equal. That's just a fact. I mean, like, we can't control that. So when you can see them actually play against really good players or good players that are a comparable level of competition that they're going to see every Sunday, that's, I mean, that has to be a part of it, no question.
Are you scouting Tooney and Brissett caught your eye, or vice versa, or were they both on your radar screen?
Great question as well. Really what we do is when we go into the overall process, we don't start with, well, we're just looking at this particular guy. So, I mean, you kind of start very broadly. So as an example, so with North Carolina State this year, so they had a quarterback, they had a center, they had a left tackle Tooney, they had a tight end, they had a running back. So you're watching everybody. You know, and you're evaluating everybody, and then once you get to a point, you say, okay, we start to maybe focus in a little bit more on this particular player. But you might pay more attention. Let's say you're watching Tooney and you're trying to really focus on him, but, I mean, the guy that's behind him is handling the ball in every single play. So I think you start with everybody, and then you start to focus in a little bit more. Maybe you've eliminated one of the other positions. Okay, we've assigned a grade and we think he's this, and then you can spend a little more time, and then you could kind of drill down even further. Okay, maybe you want to see whatever, all his attempts or all his throws in a red area or all his third down throws. Like, you have the capacity to do that. So we look at everybody. You know, it's the same thing with Alabama. Like, we're not just watching Cyrus. You're watching Cyrus. You're watching Ragland. You're watching Petway. You're watching Jerron Reed. You're watching A'shaun Robinson. You're watching all those guys. And then you have to pull back a little bit and then drill down if you want to watch specifically. Okay, if you want to watch all of the times Cyrus was targeted, all the times he was the ball was thrown in his direction. With technology, you have actually the ability to do that. So then you can kind of shift your focus into the one particular player. So we start kind of with general overall. We look at everybody, and then we kind of hone in a little bit as the process continues further into more and more specific players.
How important was Jacoby Brissett's performance at the Senior Bowl in your evaluation of him?
Yeah, we look at everything. You know, you look at his performance. He was a two-year starter at North Carolina State, so he started however many games that was. I mean, it's 30, 20-something, whatever it is. Okay, so then you go to the Senior Bowl. And it's always good to see them against good players. I'd say the one thing, too, about the whole East-West, the Senior Bowl, the Combine, in those settings, you have to be careful to kind of put too much weight and vice versa. You know, because some of these guys, like, haven't played football for, you know, a month. Okay, so if they have a bad week, is that, well, is that the players? Like, is that really what he is? Or are there some other components that are involved? So you have to, you know, you kind of have to go through the process, and you have to be careful to, I would say, overvalue or undervalue just based on what the guy does. Okay, well, the guy threw a horrendous ball in one-on-one period. Okay, I mean, does that mean he's no good? No. I mean, so there's a lot of factors that go into it. So, like I said, we talked about this, you know, last week during the pre-draft press conference. I mean, we start – our minority scouts are actually, they're watching the guys for the 2017 draft, like, as we speak. I mean, that's what they're here doing. So then we're going to go through the spring, we'll go through the fall, we'll evaluate them, we'll go, and then we'll go through the whole All-Star. So it's honestly, it's a 365, like, beginning to end, and you're just kind of trying to get to a point where you feel comfortable. I mean, look, the reality is we're going to eliminate a lot of players along the way, and we're going to only end up X amount of players that we even consider drafting. So of the thousands of guys that we evaluate in the fall, we'll end up with however many players are considered draftable for us, regardless of the round, and then we'll continue to drill down even further.
Like you mentioned, Cyrus is a pretty accomplished punt returner. You guys on your roster right now, the veteran guys who are accomplished punt returners, it's a high impact position, obviously. Is that a role that you might like to dial back for the two guys on your roster that have done it for a little while?
Yeah, the guys that have done it have been, I mean, really good. I mean, Danny was one of the league leaders last year. Julian, who had never done it before, I mean, his average is like one of the top punt returners in the history. So, look, that's a hard, I would say, skill and position to develop. So if you have multiple players that can actually handle the ball, then you can figure out, okay, well, maybe we can take his workload and to be distributed somewhere else. Or in the end, we're going to do what we think is best for the football team. Like, if a guy's not ready to do it, then, like, we're not going to have him do it, even though he has the experience and he's done it. So, you know, we're not going to really know. Look, it's the same thing. These guys are all starting from a blank slate. Like, everything they've done to this point, like, honestly doesn't matter. So now they're going to show up here next week and basically start from scratch. And then just we're going to have to – there's probably some things that Joe's going to coach them, that Joe and Bubba will coach them to do in terms of fielding the ball, handling the ball, maybe a little bit different. Okay, how do they handle that? How do they read the ball? Can they adjust, you know, to our blocking pattern? So there's a whole number of things that go into it, you know, and then he's trying to learn a new position. So it's just a matter of how quickly they can perform the task at a good level relative to another player at that same position. And then ultimately we'll figure out whoever the best option is for us and whoever we think is the best at that time, then we'll go ahead with him in that capacity.
Yeah, you mentioned Alabama players on defense, all the talented players they have. Can it be challenging to sort of identify which ones are really good and maybe which ones are made to look a little bit better by the talent they're surrounded by?
Sure. I mean, it's a good question. You really then you have to go back, and that's where, like, to the question earlier, you're kind of looking at everybody, and then you really almost have to go one by one by one and look at the actual player's skill set relative to what they're actually asked to do, and then kind of project that a little bit in terms of what we would ask them to do. So having a lot of good players is good. I mean, look, Coach Saban's got a great program, and their track record speaks for themselves. So, yeah, it's you can never have enough good players, but how good is good? Some good is better than others. So you really have to spend time on it. I know that's probably a great quote, but you really got to spend time on it. You really got to spend time on it and look at the individual player and what he actually does and how effectively he does it, and then, you know, then go from there. We'll take one more, Stace.
I'm going to squeeze off real quick. With each of these players, you can find traits and characteristics in the scouting reports that we looked at, say, oh, that makes a lot of sense. It seems like Patriots say, like Cyrus Jones, short tackling corner.
Is that your scouting report?
Yeah, that's the one that I just grabbed. But with each one, it seems that they all check boxes. Do you feel as if you, A, brought in guys who fulfill traits that you guys annually look for, and then, B, do they fulfill some of the character and leadership traits as well that you'll feel good about bringing them into the locker room?
It's everything, Tom. I mean, it really is. You know, we try to look each position on the board, each position, they have their own particular factors and position skill set that we evaluate. And we go through and we assign a grade. And, okay, there's certain things that a corner is going to have to be able to do. There's certain things that a tight end is going to have to be able to do. There's certain things a quarterback. Everyone has their own particular skills that they're going to have to be able to do. So, okay, will he check every box? Well, maybe not, but, okay, does he check enough? And then really the most important thing is to take the strengths of a player and try to put him in a position where he can utilize those strengths. Not, well, he doesn't do this. Well, we'll put him in that position, hopefully. So try to identify what the skill is, how well they do it, and then put them in a position where they can actually succeed. So there's the physical component, and then the overall, call it football makeup component, is an essential part of it as well. And look, we're not perfect. You know, some players work the way we think. Sometimes it goes the way it comes with the territory. But you're trying to create a profile of the player within our building and then how he's going to handle everything that comes along with being a New England Patriot. You know, being in the program, the demands that we place on those players. So you factor everything in. And some players, they may check every single box, both from a physical standpoint and from a football makeup standpoint. And they have others that maybe they check, you know, enough of them, and then you feel comfortable about that level. So those are decisions that, you know, we ultimately have to make. So the most important thing is finding players that we feel fit the New England Patriots, and however they end up getting here, then they get here. But the bottom line, like, that's the most important thing, is getting players that we feel fit our program and what we're looking for on a multitude of levels. All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate it.